Speaking of Tom Crean, he joins us now. Talk some basketball. Sweet 16 starting up tomorrow, 3HL. Tom, what is up?
Yeah, I'm listening to Ron. And first off, you ought to explain to your listeners what heel toe is, because that you're talking about stepping in, right?
That's right.
Right, step in.
That's right, Coach.
Yeah, like that's so important. And the range, like you talking about range, that is like one of the differentiators in the tournament right now. I think it's one of the differentiators in college. Everybody talks about the line moving back has changed the percentages, and it takes time to get the percentages up. But no, it's people don't shoot the ball properly.
Exactly.
Made the percentages low because they don't step in. And when you really watch this tournament, teams that have had success that maybe are considered underdogs in it, like Princeton's a great example. Princeton shoots the ball quickly, and they shoot it with range. Like, there's no wasted motion in their shot, and they have range. Like, you're not developing. We put an NBA three-point line down back all the way back to Marquette. We put a four-point line down when I was at Georgia that was 33 foot 8 inches. And not necessarily just for the shooting, but for the spacing. But I mean, if you look around the NBA, there's guys that are legitimately comfortable, and not just Dame Lillard and Steph Curry, that are like legitimately comfortable shooting from that range.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge thing. It really is.
So
I would have voted Ron All League if I'd have been in the coaching SEC at that point. I guarantee that.
So I'm curious. You mentioned the shooting. Like, from a coaching perspective, is it hard for you to watch some of these games sometimes when you see incorrect things happening?
Yeah, but it was hard at Georgia too, because we just didn't shoot the ball. No, seriously, we didn't shoot the ball. It's my own fault. We didn't shoot the ball the way we were close to shot it at Indiana and even Marquette. My teams at Indiana, 5 of the 9 years we were there, we were in the top 10 in percentage and 3-point percentage, and we never sniffed that at Georgia. And the bottom line is, like, you got to work. We work on shooting every day, but what happens is, guys, it's not always about taking bad shots. Sometimes you can take a good shot, and you can take it badly because of what Ron just said. You don't step in.
Yep.
You don't follow through.
Yep.
Your release isn't there. You don't stick your landing. So is it hard for me to watch? Absolutely, because there's so many guys that don't understand when to deliver the ball, okay, like one dribble earlier, where to put the ball when they deliver it, how to really create drive and kick by attacking the basket, not dribbling the ball as much as driving the ball, and then getting guys open looks. And then it's so much how guys don't stick their landing, right? They land to the side. They don't follow through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those kind of things. Yeah, it's really hard. It was hard all year on television watching that.
Yeah.
If you want to help a guy,
yep,
be better.
Yep. Tom Crean with us on 3HL. My favorite player coach that I've watched in this tournament is Marquise Noel at Kansas State point guard, the little kid, as Coach Cal called him.
Did you think that was a slight, Coach?
No, not at all. It really was. That's just how John talks. I mean, and it's like, there's no slight at all with that. I mean, that's, if people know, can you look for one? You can look for a slight in anything, but I never saw that. I mean, he's got Sevier Wheeler on his team. He's smaller than Marquise Noel. I mean, so I don't think he meant that disrespectful.
You think he was frustrated by that? That performance?
I just think that's how he talks, right? I just think sometimes he refers to guys like that, and it's like it's in television. What's one of the worst things? And Ron doesn't do this, but I see this, and it drives me nuts. Like, the big guy or the big fella, you know, what's the difference, right? Like, that's so dumb, right? Like, say his name, right? But I mean, again, I just think that's how John talks, and I wouldn't have thought twice about that if I was a coach on the other side. That wouldn't have been, but I know John some, so I didn't think twice about that.
Yeah. Well, about that kid though, man, it's just phenomenal. And what I was talking to Slay during the game about this, like, you just don't see kids play point guard like that anymore, where it's clear that he's worked on these, like, precision behind the back, like, creative passes, whereas most kids, I would think, you tell me differently, instead of working on that part of the game, they're in the gym shooting threes or something. I don't know.
Well, there's a couple of things. First off, people are going to underestimate him again, and he's going to end up in an NBA roster.
Yes.
And he might have to start as a third or second guard, but he's going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just too much. being in television this year and watching all those games, one of the things I'll do is like chart the games and like, okay, how are they winning, right? Like, how do you stop these teams? And the thing about him, and there were very few teams that did a good job of this. Texas did a good job of this. I think at Kansas State, is what he wants you to do. He doesn't beat you with his shooting. He beats you with the over helps in the way that he finds cutters and drop-offs. And in the other day, charting this game against Kentucky, just for my own benefit, they got 16 points off drop-offs or back cuts. Mm-hmm. And he was responsible probably for at least 12 of those 16. But it's like contagious, right? So like when people over help and they come to the ball, now that's not even counting the pick-and-roll game, right? Yeah. Like everybody looks at the pick-and-roll game. No, a lot of times, like if you watch Princeton, they're not beating people off the dribble with the pick and roll game. They're beating people off the dribble because they put the ball out in front and they pound that ball like it's going 10 feet in the ground. And that's why they can go by quicker guys. So it's not always the ball screen game. It's what happens on the over helps. And Kansas State is so good at back cutting.
Right.
Finding, and that doesn't even include the passes that he makes for threes or the 30-foot range that he has. Mm-hmm. So he's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, he's against Michigan State, they do such a good job of guarding the elbows, and like they make it really, really hard for you to run your offense because their first line of defense after the man guarding the ball is so good. So like if Kansas State doesn't move those guys off the elbows, he'll have a hard time. But if they get that game going and Michigan State starts over helping, mm-hmm. like other teams have done, they're going to win again.
Yep. He does a terrific job of dragging that extra dribble out to get that cross-court pass as well. Coach, let me ask you, what did you think about the Tennessee?
He's really good at that.
Yeah, he is. What did you think about the Tennessee and Duke matchup, and what did you take from that game? You know, it was a lot of talk with it being Jay Billis said it was a hockey match, and then some people said it was you had to have a cut man in your corner to take on. Did you have a problem with the way that game played out?
Not at all, because here's the deal, right? And you'll watch it tomorrow, you watch it Friday. Those first 3 minutes of the game, usually, maybe four or five, give or take, but if you take the first 3 minutes and you see how the game is called, that's how the game is going to be played.
Yep.
And I don't, that's great coaching is what that is. Mm-hmm. That's great coaching. It's players that understand exactly. I thought they were physical, but I thought they got a lot of open shots. And I thought Duke was really good.
Right.
Like, they're a good team. I mean, they got size. They got shooting. They got Whitehead back. The kid Tyrese Proctor. I mean, he's going to be in the NBA a long time when he decides to go, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee has got an older team. I think people are losing sight of the fact, like, Josiah Jordan-James is finally playing right. You know, I know he's back from the injury,
mm-hmm.
but he's playing right. Kamwa is a really hard matchup. I think people see Plavich and he's physical and he can foul some, and so they all of a sudden think, well, that's the team. No,
yep.
That team is skilled. Mm-hmm. Now, Scobie is the whole key to that team because he moves without the ball. He can make shots. He's ultimate energy because he's always moving,
mm-hmm.
and he's got his confidence back. I mean, they went through a little bout of lack of confidence. When you lose buzzer beaters like they did, that's going to mess with you. You look at the Vanderbilt game, Vescovi over helps out of that corner against Lawrence. That's the game, right? If mm-hmm. If he stays with Lawrence, Lawrence may still got the shot off, but he wouldn't have had an open shot.
That's right.
And it's like those guys, like they're playing with great confidence. And Florida Atlantic, they're just not very big. They've got a couple of big guys.
Let's see, something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts,
interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The rest of them are guards, and as soon as that turns into a half-court game, it's going to happen again.
Yep. Coach Tom Crean with us on 3HL. Do you guys keep track of that as coaches, the plus-minus thing? Because what you said about Vescovy was interesting to me because I went back and looked. Tennessee, he played 38 minutes in that game against Duke, and Tennessee was plus 16 with him on the floor. He sat 2 minutes, and they were minus three. Are coaches in tune with that, and maybe that's why he stayed on the floor the rest of the game?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Absolutely. I didn't need to hear it as much during the game, but I'd have a good feeling based on lineups, and I'd have a good feeling based on last 3-4 games. You know, I think 5 sometimes can mm-hmm. be too much, but your last 3-4 games, because that's really a 2-week sequence, and now you got a pretty good idea of where they're at plus minus. The key is finding who can play well together. And then the other key is like, okay, if that guy's out, how are we not going to lose ground? Because this guy may not be as good, but at least he can make good decisions. For Scobie, you take him out of the lineup, it's completely different because he doesn't have to have the ball to affect offense. When he does have the ball, he makes things happen. Yep. But when he doesn't have the ball, you have to keep guarding him, and that frees things up. And he's such a willing passer. And I knew as soon as Ziegler got hurt, if James can come back and be who they need a fourth-year senior to be, mm-hmm. they were going to be fine. Because now all of a sudden, instead of Ziegler, who's really good, but he's also small, mm-hmm. right? Now you put James in there, now your matchups are like crazy how hard it's going to be to score against them. And I think that's what you saw with Duke. And mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if it's not that way against Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic is good. They shoot. They score. They're athletic. But that's a whole different deal dealing with Tennessee once you're inside that 3-point line.
So you like Tennessee in that matchup?
Yeah, I don't even know what the line is, but I do. I like Tennessee a lot because they've got a minimum of 3, and sometimes they can go to 4 guys that can play big. You know, Adu is a key guy there. Mm-hmm. Mayshak, however you say his name, he's gotten so much better. I think Julian Phillips is like he's a wild card. Like yep. if he plays well, they're really rolling, but he doesn't have to play well
right.
for them to win. Vescovy has to play well for them to win. Right. He's like Mark Sears at Alabama. Mm-hmm. Mark Sears has to play well. Now, he didn't play as well this past weekend, and they still won. But if that thing gets tight, Mark Sears has got to play well. Brandon Miller will be fine.
Right.
Mark Sears has got to be the guy that makes things happen for them.
Coach, you got to hit on the Arkansas-UConn matchup for me. I look at it as Arkansas being able to throw different bodies at the big fella. Sagono.
The big fella.
Yeah. I did that for Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he's a guy that's a force, but you got an inside presence and you got a shooter that can shoot the laces off of it for UConn. Point guard spot. You tell me different, man. I think that's in question for me as far as just running the team once you get to that half court set.
Well, I do think Debo Davis played fantastic
right.
the other day. I do think what you said is right because when UConn – see, everybody's got their stars, but then they got the guys that they've got to have play well,
yep.
right? And, like, Tristan Newton has to play well. I shouldn't say has to play well, but when he plays well, they play way better,
mm-hmm.
right? They play way better. And if you go to when they had some struggles in the season, there were some guys that didn't play well, neither did he.
Yeah.
And I think for Arkansas – The more they have to set up in half court against them, the more the length is going to play into it, and it's going to hurt them. And the fact of the shooting of the ball, the more that Arkansas can turn them over, which they do a good job of, which mm-hmm. you can do to UConn, and the more that they play in transition. Like so, if UConn, if they can, if Arkansas can make Sanogo and the freshman Klingon have to come up and guard above the 3-point line or at the 3-point line on the break. And if they have to guard those drag pick and rolls, and if they have to come up and guard quick hitting before they can set that defense action,
yep.
then Arkansas is going to have a chance. When you start running half court and Sanogo can dictate if he's coming out or not, or if they're going to play and leave him in the paint and protect the paint, and all of a sudden it's like adding a 6th defender.
Right.
Because when he doesn't come out of the lane, because he doesn't have to, mm-hmm. to guard your pick and roll and to guard you, it's going to, and he doesn't have to guard the bigs at Arkansas like that. They got to get him pulled out because they're just too big and they're too long on the wing. And Arkansas's got to be able to get to the basket. You know, they're going to have to make some jumpers, but they got to get to the basket and create a foul game. Like,
searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
If Arkansas shoots 10, 12 more free throws than UConn, they can win the game. If the free throws are even, I think UConn wins the game. If UConn shoots more free throws, it may not be close.
You just took my next question.
Arkansas got a great chance.
You just hit on the next question I was going to ask you. Can you counter the basketball? Can you counter that three-point, not making enough three-point shots by getting to the foul line? And I think Arkansas has a good blueprint of that. If they look back at the Kentucky game, playing against a guy like Shibway, being able to pull him out and make him defend that pick and roll, I think that's why they beat them at Rupp. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, Coach.
No, I agree. But Sanogo is better because – and Klingon is good. The thing about Klingon, and if he comes back to college next year, he'll be an All-American first or second team. He's that good. He's that quick. Like, some guys are good vertically at the rim, but they're not real good when it comes to moving their feet and getting their hands out. Sanogo has gotten way better there. And so, like, if you're trying to run pick and roll against him, he's active with his hands. You got to get him out of the paint.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think if that becomes a half-court game, and the other thing that's really underrated about UConn is how good their half-court actions are.
Yep.
Like, they run great offense now. And I mean, really, really good offense. And because they have enough guys that can make threes. And they space you. But I think Arkansas, I mean, he's an excellent coach, Eric is. I mean, I think it's going to be – I think if those things happen, right? If they just sit out there missing jump shots and they don't get to the foul line and they can't pull Sanogo out, fast break points are going to be huge in that game.
So we've talked about Michigan State, Kansas State, Arkansas, UConn, Tennessee, Florida, Atlantic. Is there another game, Coach, that you're really interested in more than others?
Yeah, Princeton. Princeton-Creighton, to me. I love watching Princeton. I just think – I saw him enough in the studio, and then the last week that I was in the studio, we had the Ivy League championship, and saw the semis, and I just think what they're doing, Kid Tosin, I think they got two pros on their team. I think the Kid Tosin really – Steve Wojciechowski coined this in the studio, because I know one of the announcers had said he's like a young Boris Diaw, and Steve said he was the Giannis of the Ivy, and, you know, he's really right. Like, this kid – he's not Giannis. I mean, nobody is. But he, for the Ivy League and what he's doing in this tournament, there's no matchups for him. You put a big on him, he's going by him. You put a smaller guy, he can see through him. He can get around them. They've got unbelievable footwork. The Pierce kid that's a freshman, he's an NBA player in the future. He's only a freshman, but he's an NBA player from the upper body right now. I don't know if his lower body's there yet with quickness, but like release, shooting the ball. I just think they're so underestimated. They are so fundamentally good with how they attack you with the dribbles. They pound the ball. They get the ball out in front. They don't waste time in dribbles. They space the floor. And they're way quicker defensively than people believe and or people realize. And then the thing with Creighton, Kalkbrenner is such a factor at the rim. But, I mean, Villanova beat him at Villanova. I think they had a kid get 30-something, right? Mm-hmm. And because he can't go out and guard.
Right.
And Princeton's playing five perimeter guys. And so that's going to be a factor. I mean, I think Princeton will be fun to watch. I think they're more physical than people think. Creighton, I don't think, is as physical as people might give him credit for. Mm-hmm. And I would not sleep on Princeton in that game.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because they didn't just out-rebound Missouri. They dominated the boards and the offensive boards against Missouri.
Yeah, because here's, again, they're like European team. I'm going to do the Division II championships for Westwood One on Saturday in Evansville. So, like, I've really been watching. They had the quarters yesterday, and then they'll have the semis tomorrow. So I'm watching all these teams, and I'm like, Division II, like, these guys have such a European style of play, and the way they, five guys can handle, five guys can make decisions, at least three to four can shoot, and they rebound out of the corners, right? Like, that's one of the most, when my teams were at their best, we rebounded the ball offensively. We rebounded the heck out of it out of the corners. That's one thing Tom Izzo's teams have always done. They rebound out of the corners. And so many guys get stuck standing in the corner, watching, running into a back. Like, corner's the ultimate no man's land when the shot goes up. Like, you can hide in the corner and think you're jogging back. The people that sprint and rebound, and here's the other thing Princeton does. They keep spacing you. They get three guys on a side, and you don't even know what's happening. And so all of a sudden, you're driving, here's the play, and you forgot all about the guy in the corner, and he's either got a back cut or a tip because he rebounded and they all forgot about him.
Yep.
They're really good. And offensive rebounding, again, it's an extra possession, but it's a high-level opportunity not only to get a three, but to get to the foul line.
Coach Crean. I mean, I feel like we were on the whiteboard.
I mean, love it.
This is amazing really stuff, man.
We got me going with the heel toe, man, because not every day you hear that. I'm interested in talking basketball.
Right? That's how Slay shot it from the logo.
That's right.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. I know you're really, really busy with all your basketball responsibilities. But
No, I'm good. I'm just studying. I'm in Florida, man. It's like 80 degrees today. I'm good. No complaint.
Right, Rubbing in, Coach. Thank you.
Living that life.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Appreciate you. Gave us some things to watch.
You're
that's
welcome.
For sure. All right, Coach Crean.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
At Tom Crean on Twitter. Must follow.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.